Com. Welcome. I'm your humble host, Tony Teolis, and I'm keeping track of things to do around the home. This is episode 2 of the To-Do List Home Podcast, coming to you from Northern Virginia in the USA. More information on this podcast and others to follow can be found at todolisthome.com. That introductory music is Blue Devil Plane, brought to you by danosongs.com. Visit danosongs.com and help keep free music flowing on the web. The song of the day is After Hours by the Velvet Underground and Nico, recorded on Peel Slowly and See from 1967. Have a listen at Amazon.com or iTunes. The link can be found in the show notes. What drives this? There are so many things to do each day in addition to my work and family responsibilities that I needed a better way of tracking my chores around the home and evaluating them. Learning and improving permaculture techniques to help build community sufficiency and reliance. Retiring at age 55 or younger. And thesurvivalpodcast.com. Go to thesurvivalpodcast.com today and learn how to live the good life if times get bad or even if they don't. Today's gardening chore, I must chat with one of my neighbors and let her know that I am expecting a shipment of honeybees in May. Gotta double check and make sure I'm not going to have an upset neighbor. But she's real cool, and after today, I'll have the opportunity to know for sure or not. On my to-do list today is transplanting onion and chive sprouts. As mentioned in episode 1, the 2011 spring gardening season has begun for me here in Northern Virginia. This is my third year as a producer of fruits and vegetables, and one of the keys to my success has been the all-new Square Foot Gardening book written by Mel Bartholomew. Mel is an engineer by training, and his skills and experience have helped create a system for growing more food in less space. Mel travels the third world presenting his techniques for helping others to grow more of what comes naturally. Mel's Square Foot Gardening book is where I turn to for all my gardening how-tos and more. You'll notice two attachments in today's episode. Planting Times is an Excel chart of the what and when for sowing and planting my fruits and vegetables. The timeline is based on the average first and last frost dates for Northern Virginia. The crops that are grayed out are not being sown this year or are already in the ground as perennials, as in the case of asparagus. Home Outline and Plans 2011 is a PowerPoint of the layout of my gardens and beehive. When you view this presentation, you'll understand the importance of keeping track of the gardening chores. I have 16 gardens spread around my 1/3 acre property. These 16 gardens, plus some other growing areas, encompass 240 total square feet of growing space. On February 13th, I sowed bunching onion seeds, better known as green onions, and chive seeds in vermiculite. I let them soak up water and placed them in the upstairs bedroom, the warmest room in the house. On February 20th, after sprouts started to rise, I moved the tray to under their lighting system. Today's chore is to transplant them to a mixture of one part each, vermiculite, peat moss, and compost, better known as Mel's Mix. A link to Mel's Square Foot Gardening site is provided in today's show notes. I started collecting vegetable seeds even before I had a place to put them. We were still living in an apartment in the summer of 2008 when I made my first purchase of seeds from Big John Lipscomb. His website and YouTube videos helped me understand that there were some things that I could have influence over and one of them was growing my own food. You truly experience liberty when you take a tiny single seed and produce a plant to feed your family, and then later retrieve dozens or hundreds of new seeds from that same plant. For me, growing my own food is as exhilarating as hunting, fishing, and sports. All of those things require hard work, patience, and perseverance, and gardening is no less of a challenge. We moved to our home in the late winter of 2009, and within a few weeks I was at it sowing seeds, making mistakes, and planning for the summer 2009 gardens. I started out not knowing what to do, and I only had Big John Lipscomb's planting guides, which were not too bad for a beginner, but they were very limited in how to plan beyond the initial sowing and separating phases of gardening. I had images in my mind of Mike Deloy's tomato and hot pepper garden back home and how proud he was when he showed it to me years ago. I thought I could do the same, and the first year results were pretty good. Lots of tomatoes and hot peppers, although they weren't so hot. Some success with lettuce and a bountiful cucumber crop. In 2010, I decided to try one of my favorites, long green onions, known in seed catalogs as bunching onions. I love these things and can never have too many. Which brings me to point out a key element about gardening. Grow what you like first and don't get caught up in images of a gourmet garden of food you've never tried. Stick to what you like and you'll like what comes out of your garden even better. As I was saying, the green onions I grew last summer were awesome. They were plentiful, delicious, and easy to grow. The picture in today's post says it all. Last year, I was careful to cut the plants slightly above the root system when I harvested them. That way they become never-ending onions. Or at least that's how they're described in some circles. I was not sure if I did a good enough job of cutting and leaving the roots in the ground, so I decided to grow some more just in case. As for the chives, I have 3 spots in the garden already where they grew in 2009 and 2010. And although they are perennial, I wanted some extra plants to supplement the earlier plantings. To transplant these, from the cups of vermiculite to starter trays of mel mix, I watered the mel mix from underneath first so that the soil becomes moist and firm. I then take a pencil once the soil is moist enough and put a hole in each of the plant holders. I use the same pencil and insert it into the vermiculite away from and below where I believe the individual roots to be. I carefully grasp a leaf or stem of the plant and use slight leverage to pry the plant from the vermiculite and quickly transfer to the soil mix. It takes a little practice, and you have to be careful sometimes to do this right without damaging your plants. However, I have learned that my children's hands are most adequately adapted to this kind of work, and they usually find themselves helping me with this regular chore throughout the spring. Having the children help with this step prepares them for the next step of transplanting the seedlings into the gardens once the plants are big and sturdy enough. This certainly seems like an awful lot of work for something we won't be able to harvest for another 5 or 6 months. But whatever fruits and vegetables you buy from the store or anywhere else, don't take any less time to grow. If you're not buying locally grown fruits and vegetables from a farmer's market or growing your own, you are reliant on a complex system to provide you with sustenance. At what point does this become too expensive for you? How many people and unclean machines have a hand in the production of the food that appears on your dining room table? How much are those systems reliant on other systems like the oil complex to make food appear in the grocery stores? These and other questions lead me to believe that food only becomes more expensive from here. Let me say that again. What you depend on every day to get by is dependent on strangers and strange systems, and your sacrifice of liberty is worse than what we experience when we have to take off our shoes at the airport. The more dependent we become, the more we are forced to pay the piper for the going price. As food becomes more expensive, I have chosen to take control of what I can. It's not much, but it is so much more than nothing. That's it for today. Now go out and do something useful.